Welcome to EC Radio Podcast. We would like to thank all of our sponsors for joining the Disruption team, and we hope that you will support all of our sponsors. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this program.
Get excited. It's the Electric Company Reunion Party, Friday, July 20th at Wakely, 700 Varick Street. That's right, 700 Varick Street, the old EC. We're getting the gang back together, and we're partying old EC style. Peter Prince and Moon Boo Lover will be providing the live entertainment. It's only a $5 cover at the door. Live broadcast from the D, raffles, games, prizes, and a few special announcements we're going to be making on this night. Get excited, because you know there ain't no party like an EC party, because an EC party don't stop. Friday, July 20th at Wakely's. See you there.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
Hi, this is attorney Nick Passalacqua. The team of attorneys I have assembled at Passalacqua & Associates has been carefully hand-picked to include the best trial attorneys in the particular areas of the law that we practice. Have you been charged with DWI or any other crime? Members of our team include former assistant district attorneys, now fighting to protect your rights 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have you or someone you love been seriously injured in a motor vehicle accident? Members of the team at Passalacqua & Associates include former insurance defense attorneys, now fighting to ensure that you get every penny you're entitled to. If you need legal help quick, don't waste your time or money calling anyone else. Remember, for legal help quick, you better call Nick and the team at Passalacqua & Associates. 315-500-NICK or 315-500-6425 or visit cnytriallaw.com today.
The following program is an exclusive Disruption Networks production.
Oh yeah, baby. We're back. We're back by design. It's the Tuesday edition of EC Radio. Hope everybody is enjoying their Tuesday.
Back like scoliosis.
Yes, we are, man. We are back. Yeah, indeed. What's happening, everybody? There's my face. Greetings and salutations, Earthlings. We're here live and direct, getting a little loose in the shoulder bone today. EC Radio, you can find us live at DisruptionNetwork.net. Also live on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Periscope, Streamy, Restreamy, Twitch, all those. So there's even more, too. But the home base, DisruptionNetwork.net. It's me, Z, and joining me, as always, my homeboy, my tag team partner, my mans in them, my bro-ham, Chicken.
What's up?
What's good, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Bro, I'm a little disappointed in you.
What did you do now?
Show up to the Sophistafunk show last night.
I had every intention.
Yeah, I know you did.
And then my mom made pasta.
Ah.
And, you know.
Yeah, the fat kid can't turn on the bowl of pasta from mom.
No, absolutely not. And
you like it a sauce, huh?
I like it as, like it a pasta, yeah.
Man, but the great time last night, Levitt Concert Series down there at Copernic Park. About like 700 people were there. It was great. They did a great job. Big ups to our girl, Michelle McCarrick, for putting that on. Michelle Truitt for putting that on. And she kicks ass. And her whole team, man. She got a great team down there. But I got to give some love and respect out to the El Jefe taco truck. My man Jay Ramirez, man, hooking me up yesterday. I got Flavor Country in my mouth instantly. He handed me this thing. He called me out of nowhere. He's like, Z, I need you to come over here. So I come over there. He's like, this one's for you. And it's a burnt cheese taco.
It sounds amazing.
A burnt cheese taco shell. It was delicious. Oh, my God.
So the whole shell was cheese.
The whole shell was Monterey Jack cheese. And it was burnt. Like burnt to a crisp. To where he formed it into a taco shell and just made it into a taco. And never mind that Dorito taco that the Chalupa dude over there on North Utica does there. Taco Bell or whatever. This is the real deal.
North Utica dude.
Yeah, this is the real deal. I should say the North Utica doo-doo, because for me to eat Taco Bell, I might as well eat it right on the toilet. Kill two birds with one stone. You know, it goes through me like Mexican water through a torus.
It's like me at Denny's. I just throw it in the toilet.
Yeah, right.
There you go. I'm done.
But big ups to Al Jefe, man. My man Jay Ramirez. He's doing a great thing. So if you see that taco truck driving around Utica, he's part of the Utica Food Truck Association. If you see him, stop him. Let him know your boys from EC Radio and Disruption Network sent you. And he'll hook you up, man. He said he'd give you some love.
So it's a low-carb taco.
It was incredible. It was incredible.
It sounds good. Dude, I'm hungry now.
Speaking of somebody who loves burnt taco shells, burnt cheese taco shells. Yeah, my man Chris Eves is in the house with
hey
us.
Hey, guys.
Good to see you, brother.
I do love burnt cheese.
Burnt cheese?
Yeah, that's my thing.
What's your favorite cheese?
It's got to be cheddar, I think. But it doesn't cheddar? Burn as well as, like, I like Parmesan burns really good. Ooh. And what other one? Mozzarella burns really good.
Or as we say in Utica, mozzarella.
Mozzarella, yeah. What
about provolone?
Exactly.
Provolone.
That burns pretty good, you know.
Is there a cheese you don't like?
No.
No.
I like all cheeses.
I love cheese.
Limburger.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My Italian grandmother loved Limburger cheese.
Yeah.
That's the one that smells bad, right?
It smells like somebody shit their pants. Like, legit. Like, my sister walked in, like, after I bought my grandmother the cheese, she goes, did you shit your pants? I'm like, no, it's the Limburger cheese.
Limburger. Yeah, man. But great taco. You got to check it out.
I think I will.
And I was lucky enough to try the very first one. So much love to Jay Ramirez, man. He called me out of the crowd, too. He's like, I want you to try this. You're the first to try it. Wow. Awesome. So give him some love and respect on EC Radio today.
I take a little exemption to you putting down Taco Bell, though. That's my go-to.
Oh,
same
so,
here.
Like
yeah.
2 a.m.
That is my
2 a.m. Like one band I'm in Skunk City. We play every Sunday night. Be done around like 12:30. I'd have about 20 minutes to get to Taco Bell before they closed.
You
and
run for the border.
Yeah, everybody be like packing up and just hanging out. I'm like, see you guys. I got to get to Taco Bell. It became a thing.
See, the same frame. It's, you know, McDonald's, Burger
yeah.
King, I don't care about.
Nah,
yeah, I
mean, nah, it's
KFC,
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, and then maybe Wendy's. But Taco
Wendy's
Bell
is good.
Taco Bell is my Achilles heel. Like, I can't. I can't do it.
I can't do Taco Bell. I can't do any of those fast food other than when I'm out like in Vegas and go to In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, In-N-Out
Burger.
See,
I want to try that.
Okay.
I love In-N-Out Burger.
I was just in Vegas.
Were you?
I went to In-N-Out Burger 4 times in 6 days.
The one right on the strip?
Oh, yeah. They built a new one there. There's that whole walking part, right? Yeah. So
down by the links.
Yeah,
that area.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
right
yeah.
by Brooklyn Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So I went there 4 times. Yeah. It was pretty bad. And then there's also a Taco Bell there. Have you seen that one?
It's
like you can drink in it. It's got like
oh, sure.
it's got beer and it's you can get married there. They've got like a it's like a
it's like Demolition Man. You ever watch that movie?
Yeah.
And they Taco Bell's the fancy restaurant. Oh, you're going to Taco Bell?
Yeah. No, seriously, upstairs and there's a sign that says like, you know, reserved for our special couple or whatever. Like, there's a wedding area in the Las Vegas Taco
you get
Bell.
Get married at Taco Bell.
Oh my God!
My fiance and I thought about it actually. We're like, because we're getting married in a couple months, and it's like
oh,
gonna
cool.
be like this real expensive, you know, fancy thing. And we're like, fuck it, should we just go to Taco Bell in Las Vegas? It's like $700. You get all the tacos you can eat. You know,
that's funny. You know, if you're going to Vegas and if you're going to get married on a whim or something, you got to do the Elvis drive-thru thing.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be the thing
yeah.
to do instead of getting married at Taco Bell.
Have you ever been to a Mighty Taco?
Yes.
Those are really good.
I can't agree with you there.
Really?
Well, it's right before we went to Vegas. We were flying out of Buffalo, and we went to one there, and who puts an American cheese slice in their taco? That's fucked up.
Oh, see, I had the Buffalo. They had a buffalo chicken taco, which I thought was amazing.
Buffalo. Oh, okay. Maybe that's different. Mine was a shell. With a slice of American cheese fit in there, and then some meat over it. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I had a
it's like you know.
Yeah, it's kind of bonk. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Have either one of you had Jack in the Box?
No.
No, but they do the same thing, don't they? They put a slice of American cheese in their taco.
No, it's shredded cheese. Actually.
Oh, it is. Okay.
There's something about their tacos. I think they put crack in them because they're addicting.
Yeah.
I've
never even seen a Jack in the Box.
Well, there's none around here. It's a West Coast thing.
Wow.
Yeah. West Coast thing, but that place is incredible. They got great tacos, and I love their taquitos, too. You ever eat some of those taquitos, the little round, they're round tacos pretty much what they are.
Not a taco place, but are you guys Sonic fans?
I was, but then I realized, so I was like, oh, this is amazing. You can drive into it. So it felt like this event, you know, and they've got all this stuff on the menu, and then I just realized it's like a Sheetz, like... It's basically gas station food, but they make it like a carnival atmosphere, so you think you're having fun
like
eating
Sheetz.
Gas station food. Yeah. So
Sheetz is an experience.
I like Sheetz.
I like Sheetz too. You ever go to a Sheetz?
No, what's a Sheetz?
It's pretty much mainly in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yeah.
And it's a throughway stop, pretty much.
Is it kind of like a Wawa?
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, but they have like kiosks where you touch screen what you want to eat.
You don't even have to talk to
you.
Anybody.
But that's the thing. They trick you into eating gas station food by having all this cool technology, and you think you're doing something amazing. It's like going to Disneyland and, like, punching in your order and, like, you know, I don't know. But it's gas station food. It
that's
just
exactly
they just trick you
is.
Into eating it by having it be like a video game, you know?
It is. You walk in there, it feels like you're on the Jetsons or something.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You don't have to talk to anybody.
Nope.
You press a button and your order comes out.
Yeah.
I just wasn't impressed. There's like 10 different, you know, for a Sonic, there's like 10 different ways to have a hot dog.
Yeah.
And like that was it. I don't know. I was like.
Yeah, I'm not into it, actually.
Me either.
No. No.
Yeah, no way. No way. Fast food, though. Try a Jack in the Box. If you get a chance. If there's something about Jack in the Box that is amazing.
I really want to try an In-N-Out burger.
Chris.
Really
oh, In-N-Out. Yeah.
If you're a big taco fan,
yeah.
Next time you're in Vegas,
yeah.
Here's my suggestion to you. You have to try Roberto's Taco Shop. There's
okay.
about 40 of them in Vegas.
Really? Okay.
And it's incredible.
Okay.
And it's like the old world, old school style like you get from Mexico.
Really?
Roberto's Taco Shop. Hands down one of my favorite places to go every time I go to Vegas. That and there's another place called Los Taqueritos.
Okay.
And there's only two of them. One on Sahara Boulevard and one on West Charleston in Vegas.
Okay. I'll have to check those out. My fiance, Jessica, she loves Mexican food more than anybody I know.
Awesome.
And to the point where she's, you know, she posts about it on Facebook. She, like, researches Mexican food. Now she gets, like, suggested ads on Facebook in Spanish because she talks so much about Mexican food.
Yeah.
So, pretty
funny. I love Mexican.
Me too. Me too. So, I got to mention the other night, Chris is a phenomenal musician, man. This guy.
Oh, thank you.
Chris, you know.
Oh, he's not here to talk about cheese?
No.
That's what you told me. I did all this research last night on how to burn cheese and tried a few recipes.
Do you eat feta?
I do, but I try not to.
I love it.
I love feta.
Me too.
What's cheese? The difference between feta and blue cheese? Is it the same thing?
No.
Okay.
There's no. Definitely a different.
Is it goat?
Feta's goat cheese.
Okay.
Yeah, and blue right. cheese is molded cheese.
Oh, okay.
I love blue cheese.
Me
as well.
Too. I like them both. There's not a cheese. I don't
but they're kind of they taste kind of similar, right? Salty and well, feta's saltier,
no.
right?
No, I think blue cheese is more saltier. Blue cheese is way more salty.
Feta's got that more styrofoamy feel to it.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've eaten it.
I'm sure you have.
I haven't.
If you have Greek
cheese,
food,
I don't like. Yeah, I like all cheeses.
You guys are crushing me today. I love it. You guys get me hungry. Is the
I know,
problem
I'm freaking
right
starving.
Now. This is what happens. We sit here and we talk about food, and then we make ourselves hungry until we're like, oh, got stomach pains. Anyways, the other night I was mentioning yesterday on the podcast that I was at Turquoise Tiger at the casino and saw these guys play the other night. Skunk City is quickly becoming one of my favorite local bands.
Oh, cool, man. I appreciate that.
I'm serious.
It's a lot of fun playing with those guys.
You're a party.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's one big party.
Definitely. Well, you know, E-Man on the drums, I mean, he just brings the party wherever he goes. So.
He's incredible.
Yeah, he is incredible.
And we seen him last night play with Sophistafunk.
Yeah.
And he absolutely destroyed it last night.
Yeah, I heard that was great.
At the Levitt. And yep. Oh, my God, it was awesome last night.
Yeah, we just did a tour with, it was Sophistafunk and another band called Root Shock that if you haven't heard, you'd
They're
really
coming
like
on the
them.
Show next week, actually.
Great,
They're
okay.
here next week.
And then it was Skunk City as well. So it was like 2 weeks of those three bands going around, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet.
A lot of sit-ins, a lot of collaborations and
yeah.
stuff. So it was really killer.
You mentioned Root Shock. Jocko is
yeah.
another talented son of a bitch.
Oh,
there too.
Yeah. Well, we recorded both records at his studio, the New Normals record and Skunk City's record. Were both done at More Sound, which
oh.
Jocko runs.
Oh, yeah,
he
right.
owns that.
Was he your engineer on
he
it?
He wasn't. He mastered both of them. But another guy, Andrew Greason, you know him?
Yeah.
He did both of the records, like production and engineering and stuff like that. So
yeah.
So it's a great experience going there. It just feels like home. I you know spend so much time there doing both those records. They just make you feel at home. And I don't know. It's just good products come out of there. A lot of things, you know, the records I like to listen to, more or less, they come out of there, you know?
Yeah. So. Our good friend of the show, Nineball, did both their albums
yeah.
from over there. And amazing albums.
Great
yeah.
albums.
And it's still on my playlist to this day.
Same yeah. here. It's in my truck
yeah.
right now.
It's on my playlist to this day. And everything coming out of More Sound is top
yeah.
notch.
They
top
do a great job. Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah. It's funny you mention them because they're going to be here next week. I've been talking to Jocko the last couple of days.
Cool.
Coming in and he's going to stop in, and they're bringing the band in.
Nice.
The whole
oh,
band
nice.
Coming
in. Play
Root
in
Shack.
Here?
You know what I love about I don't know. We should get them to play.
We haven't had a band play in a while.
It's been a while. It has been a while. But you know what I love about Root Shock is they're picking up where John Brown's body left off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jocko had stuff to do with John
Brown. Oh, yeah,
Brown,
he was there a little too. That's when I first met him. He was running around doing sound and tour managing for John Brown's Body.
Yeah.
But he's picking up right where they left off. Yeah. And JBB was one of my favorites back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Missed that band terribly. But it's cool to see Rootshock doing it and then doing it at the same level. And it's a different – don't expect John Brown's Body.
Right, it's different.
The girl's got an amazing voice.
Oh, absolutely.
And
it's a great party. Just gets better every time I see him, actually. Like, we did that two-week tour, and I was like, I don't know how it happened, but in 2 weeks, like, you're better today. You were great when we started, and now you're even better. So, you know, she just keeps getting better. They all do, you know. They're a great band.
Great band. There's a lot of great music coming out of Syracuse right now.
Yeah. It's a cool kind of – it feels like almost like a renaissance around there. You know what I mean? There's like a whole bunch of new bands. They all like to work with each other, collaborate with each other. There's a lot of respect for each other, and it's cool. It's just – it's a lot of fun.
I feel like music in general is kind of like that. You go through these slumps where, like, you get, like, nothing really happened, and all of a sudden I think people get bored or like, they just start collaborating, and they come out with some great music. I mean, look when the grunge era chimed in.
Yeah.
Like, the music scene kind of was getting stale, and then grunge kind of moved forward, and now I feel like that it's that time now because we kind of hit a stale point in the past few years.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
You
know?
I agree.
Well, it's hard. I think, you know, with technology and everything, everybody can make a record now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is good and bad. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword there.
Right.
So you get bombarded with just all this music, but I think that we're starting to filter that out now, like, as a culture. Like, at first, it was just like, I'll listen to anything that comes in. And now we're starting to filter that out again and be like, all right, this is the good stuff, you know, that people are making some great music.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if you start following that one band, like, they'll turn you on to the other bands that they're collaborating with. Like, good bands find each other, you know what I mean, and work together. And
it never used to be that way.
No.
Yeah, I've been on the scene for many, many years. I'm starting to become a cagey veteran, if you will. And I've seen it. I mean, back in the 90s, everybody were trying to screw each other over left and right. Yeah. And there was, like, this little competition.
Yeah, I never got that. Like,
me neither. But nowadays, it's, like you said, this good camaraderie.
Yeah, I feel like if you want to compete, go play, like, rec basketball or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's not for music. Like, music should be shared. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. And everyone has their own style and their own, you know, creations.
Exactly.
So, you know what I mean? Like, why...
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, if you're making original music, nobody can copy what you do because you're doing your thing,
right?
So, like, there's no reason to compete. Just appreciate what that person's doing that's coming out of them.
Exactly.
And then, you know, let, you know, what you're doing be indicative of who you are. Mm-hmm. And then there's no reason to, like, be competitive or anything. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it's cool, man. Great. I love to see, and especially here in Utica, too, man, the music scene has definitely grown a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they're, same thing. There was a little low point. Now there's some bands popping up left and right, and they're starting to shuffle out of town and into Syracuse and Rochester.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, moving down the road, there will be, like, a cross-pollinization of, like, Syracuse bands, Utica bands, you know, going, helping each other out.
Yep.
Maybe more Syracuse bands come to here to Utica.
Yep.
Does that happen a lot? It seems to me like I don't really see too many, like, Syracuse and Utica bands collaborating together.
Yeah, I don't hear about that a lot. And I think that will change, you know, once, you know, I think we have to seek each other out and realize that it would be beneficial for both bands, you know, or whoever's, you know, trading off.
They can get people into Utica, Syracuse bands in Utica, and then Utica bands into Syracuse,
exactly.
And then both go to Rochester or something.
Yeah, I tell that to all the local bands, too, is like, if get out of Utica and go play, trade gigs with other bands in other markets.
Absolutely.
That's a good way to get your foot in the door
explore. I went to a small high school, and the whole idea of, like, dating someone from a different high school just seemed really weird, like they lived in a different planet. So it's kind of like that right now, like all the Syracuse bands are here, and it's like, that'd be weird to, like, you know,
like going to Utica.
Yeah,
see, I went to a small school, so I'm like, yeah, I'm checking out chicks from other schools.
He went to a small school, too. Where'd you go to school?
Hamilton.
Oh, you went to Hamilton?
Yeah, yeah.
I liked Hamilton. It's such a great little town, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's so colonial when
you
drive through.
And then you got Colgate there, too. So it was cool because, you know, you'd grow up and have some things to do, like go to sports, you know, like, you know, Donald Foyle from the Golden State Warriors.
He's the announcer over there now, too.
Yeah, yeah. So he played for Colgate, so that was always fun. I went to high school with him.
Uh-huh.
So,
he's a little bit older than you.
Yeah.
Probably like 2 years or so, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I remember him being in high school, too, right around the same time. And
And
he was a man amongst boys.
Oh, yeah.
Back then.
He was a big boy. Well, was he 7 foot, right? 7'1"?
Something like that. He's up there. But, you know, it was funny. When he came, all the schools around here had to change their rims to breakaway rims because no one could dunk around here. And then right. all of a sudden he shows up and he's going to be breaking backboards if like they don't change. So
he was a local Shaq.
Yeah, he was. And I mean, it's amazing. So actually, funny story about him. My brother and I'm a huge Lakers fan. I lived in L.A. I know. I'm sorry. I'll preface it.
I'm a Celtics fan.
Oh, shit. I will see you in the finals this
You're right.
year.
That's the best thing about LeBron going to Lakers is now the Celtics will go to the finals.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that going to be great? Another Celtics-Lakers.
Well, he's got Golden State. Oof.
Well, yeah. Well, they, you know, they're done. They need to be done.
Tell me your Lakers story.
All right, well, I'll start with a quick one. I was at my parents today visiting them in Hamilton, and I had some stuff stored there, and I found a Lakers hat and a Boston Red Sox hat. So if that's not the weirdest combo of, like, I'm a Red Sox fan and a Lakers fan. Because I went to college in Boston, mm-hmm. and then I lived in L.A. for quite a few years. But anyways, when I moved to L.A., it was right when, Shaq and Kobe were in that dynasty, right? So I just got used to, like, winning, you know? So I fell in love with the team. And then they sucked for a while, and then they got good again, and now they really suck. But now they got LeBron. So anyways, my brother, he's a golf pro out in Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
And so he works with somebody that owned Toyota of Hollywood. And I think the guy was trying to impress my brother or whatever. He's like, I can get you Lakers tickets anytime, you know, whatever. So my brother called his bluff and was like, all right, finals tickets.
Oh, shit.
And this was, I think, it was the year the Magic played the Lakers. So it was probably 2009 or something like that. Anyways, he was like, all right, I'll get you finals tickets. So we got tickets to game 2, Lakers Magic, in the finals. At the time, Donald Foyle was on the Magic. He was like Dwight Howard's backup. So this guy really wanted to like impress my brother. So he got us like courtside seats, VIP to the bar underneath the Staples Center, like where the buses have their bar. So we could just walk the court, right? Like right behind the benches and stuff. So we is like right about the halftime. And my brother's like, let's go to the bar and, beat the crowds or whatever walking around to go to the bathroom. We walk by the Magic's bench, and they're in a huddle. And my brother's like, hey, O'Donnell, Hamilton High School, remember me? I mean, he's in the middle of the finals, like going over like the next play, you know, to end the half. And my brother's like bugging him courtside, which I thought was great.
Did he respond?
Yeah, he waved. Nice. But he like kind of a confused, he's like,
Yeah.
You know,
and leave me alone, kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Who the hell are you?
Drink another beer, pal.
Yeah, but it was pretty funny.
That is funny.
Well, I imagine once you heard Hamilton High School, he was probably like, oh, shit.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
He's got to be the most popular guy to ever graduate from Hamilton High School, right?
I would think so. Well, there's another guy. I don't know if you've ever heard of Matt Malloy, but he's a little older, but he graduated from Hamilton High School, and he's been in, like, a ton of movies, like Armageddon, and there was a Will Smith movie called Hitch. But he'd always be, like, you know, the guy selling a suit. To Will Smith or, you know, the scientist in Armageddon or something. And he had a show on, I think, on Amazon and about, like, senators or something. But anyway, so he's been an actor in a lot of movies and stuff. He's from Hamilton. He lives on the lake in Hamilton and stuff during the summer. So it was probably O'Donnell or this guy, Matt Malloy, are probably the two most famous Hamilton alumni.
And then you.
Yeah, for the record of eating the most burnt cheese, probably. That's my fame.
That should be our next challenge, food challenge. The burnt cheese food challenge chicken. There you go.
Burnt cheese challenge.
Oh, man.
I'm in.
Did you hear about that guy that ate, like, all the hot dog? You know, Joey Chestnut?
Oh, yeah.
Broke his record.
Oh, yeah.
74.
Yeah, we're well-versed in Joey Chestnut around here. Well-versed in that. That's for damn sure.
See how much burnt cheese could he eat. That's what I want.
I want to see him eat the Goliath.
I want to see him. So we have this challenge going on with Old Babies. It's a great sandwich shop. If you get a chance, check it out.
Okay.
It's right in New Hartford, on the border of New Hartford and Utica, on Nida Street. We have this Goliath challenge, and it's a triple – it stands like a foot high. It's like a six-pound sandwich.
Oh, shit.
And you have to eat that with fries and drink it down with a 2-liter of soda or a 40. And there's a challenge, and we did a challenge a couple weeks back, and everybody tapped out the 40-minute mark.
Yeah. Nobody finished
it. Nobody finished it. So we're going to bring in the pros. In fact,
I'll read him the sandwich.
Okay, read him the sandwich.
Please.
There's two sandwiches you can choose from. Okay. One's the All-American. It's the lettuce, tomato, onion, hot cherry peppers, mayo, mustard, hickory, bacon, chicken breast, turkey, ham, and American cheese.
Yep.
Triple everything.
Okay, yeah.
And the other one is the Broheim, which is lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, roasted peppers, hot peppers, mayo, Gouda cheese, roast pork, baked ham, roast beef and honey mustard dressing.
That's the one I'd do.
Yeah.
That sounds so freaking good. Yeah. And they make their own honey mustard.
So you're pretty much eating an infant.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to call up a couple of the pros to come do that challenge pretty soon. And
but you got to think, like, you're going to eat 72, what is it, donuts or hot dogs? What
hot
do you
dogs,
eat?
Yeah.
Hot dogs. Versus this sandwich.
Right.
This is like, they'll probably pound this because it tastes
I'm
so damn
sure.
good.
I mean, it'd probably just be a slow day for them just eating that. You know what I mean?
Right. And they don't have to really break a record because nobody's been able to finish it.
Right.
So if it takes them an hour and 20 minutes,
right.
so fine. Be it.
Yeah. Sounds like low hanging fruit for him, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't see somebody finish it.
We need somebody to finish this thing. That's the thing. That's the problem we're having. Nobody can finish it. But
best tasting food competition yet.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. We'll be doing one really soon. We're going to be making that announcement really, really soon. We got some things in the works. In fact,
it's gonna
we stirred up the pot a lot today. And let's just say we had a meeting and talked to a guy who talked to a guy who talked to a guy.
Did you say pot?
Yeah. That's what somebody should go. You know, we had it planned out perfect, too. So if you got high, like, right on 420, and then the challenge started at 6 o'clock, that's right when the munchies are going to kick in. I planned that out myself. Anyways, joining us in the studio today, Chris Eaves. Chris Eaves in the New Normal, also Skunk City. And, man, I feel like you've been playing a lot of bands. The first time I've heard of you, you were recording one of the local bands around here. And I was like, Chris Eaves, I think I know him. But and then there was another band back in the Castle Creek. Would you play the Castle Creek?
Yeah,
And you spent a little time with Floodwood.
Yep, I was with Floodwood for about 2 years. Just recently, I'm not with them anymore. But yeah, had a good time playing with those guys for a while.
They're some great players, man.
They're great and great guys. And
don't you think Nick Piccinini is probably the best looking musician you've ever laid your eyes on?
Well, second best.
Weren't you the original Superman?
I think that was Reeves.
Oh, shit.
Chris Reeves.
those guys were great. And the cool thing was, is I think they kind of took a chance on me because I've never really played bluegrass. I kind of like, you know, I knew a few bluegrass licks maybe here or there. But when they had me play, it was like kind of like being like, here, we're going to drop you off in the middle of Spain and you're going to give a speech to all these people in Spanish, you know. And I was like, so I had to really like learn how to play bluegrass from ground zero and figure out how to do that. And not only are they great bluegrass players, but everything they do is like 10 times faster than normal bluegrass. Like that was like their thing was like, we're going to just do this as fast as we can. So my hand would sometimes feel like a paint mixer just going like this, you know? So that was a good learning experience. And it's fun. Like Nick Piccinini actually, everything that he played, like I tried to absorb cause he's an amazing musician. So I think I learned a lot from him that I still carry over into like rock. And
I just seen him play up in the back door and he was with Crossman and Kita.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's got that band Follow the Muse.
Yeah
dude, they were crushing it. Like, you know, I'm so used to him playing bluegrass and they were rocking out, man. It was a good band.
I was
really, really impressed.
It's funny because he never really grew up in like the rock genre or any of that. And like the first time he played Crazy Train, the first time he ever heard Crazy Train, he was playing it. And, you know, and it's like, this is a heavy metal classic rock anthem
right,
here.
Right.
And he was kind of sheltered as a kid. But now you see him coming out of his shell, and he's just an amazing musician.
I was pleasantly surprised to see those guys playing there, and they were great.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. But, yeah, that must have been great checking that out. And now you got, you know, the New Normal, which is, I mean, you guys are a rocking band, too, man.
Thanks,
I saw you guys at Taste of Syracuse.
Oh, thanks. Yep.
Jamming it up.
Yep. It's more of a rock jam kind of thing.
Yep.
So, you know, that's one of the things. It's pretty new for us, too. I mean, like, it's about a two-year-old band as well. Maybe less, like a year and a half or something like that. So I think when it comes to, like, a jam band, there's a longer, steeper learning curve as far as like, you know, you could get together with a band and be like, this is how the song goes and it's over. And you could kind of like just gel and be good. This is more like you're trying to improvise with everybody all, you know, that you might not have known for very long or anything like that. So we just got together. So we're still kind of finding our way as far as like how to jam together and find our own way of making it unique, you know.
Yeah.
But it's great, and
well, that'll all come in time.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I've been trying to for a long time. I've always been a really big fan of jam bands. So since I was a kid, The Dead and Fish and Mo and all that stuff, like, it's just, you know, in me. You know, that's always been like my favorite kind of stuff. But at the same time, I've always liked just regular, you know, U2 or like The Police or any of those like just straight up pop songs. And it's been really hard for me to kind of bridge the two. You know what I mean? So I want things that are songs that aren't, you know, and I love Phish. They're probably my favorite band, but sometimes their songs are just so nonsensical. Right. You know what I mean? And I dig it, but I know a lot of people don't. But I wanted to bridge that gap and be like, this is a standalone song that you could just like it for the song. And then, but live, we might take it to a different place, you know, every night. Mm-hmm. So that it's not always the same song. I love that idea of every night you're getting a different show.
Me too.
But, you know, the chemistry of the players makes that or breaks that. Yep. And so I think we have the right chemistry, and certain nights are just magic, you know. So we try to just always, you know, get better at that. I think that's a never-ending upward spiral. You know what I mean? You're always trying to improve that.
Isn't that fun when you're, like, looking around the room and you guys are deep in the pocket,
yeah.
Everybody having a good time, and you just see smiles around the face, you yes. know you're in the right place.
Right, exactly.
That's
exactly.
a good feeling.
Yeah, and it just gets better and better, I think. That's just, like, the kind of band that over time, you know, like Wine or something, ages really well and gets better with time. So that's been a lot of fun. And that's a lot, like, I guess that would to be considered my, like, my band in a sense, like as far as like, you know, the songs that I write and mm-hmm. that, like, this is probably where my heart is closest to,
right,
is doing that stuff. And so yeah, so I take it really seriously and just, you know, love the music and everything.
And
so.
You're gigging a lot, right?
Yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like you're out every night or every weekend, or
it depends, you know. Certain weeks are, you know, maybe four nights, and others are two or three or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so but I do a lot of solo stuff too. You know, so it I'm usually playing five times a week or
That's
something
good,
like
man.
That. Yeah.
Keeping those chops.
Yeah. Trying to.
And paying those bills.
Yeah, exactly. Second one's the most important.
Right.
Yeah. But
damn bills don't pay themselves, no. You know.
So, but it's exciting because, you know, I'm in two bands that are, you know, very different. You know, one's more of like a, you know, funk, R&B, and, you know, that kind of side of things. And the
Skunk
other
City.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a party.
Yeah, it's just a party.
That's
yeah.
a great party yeah. band.
And so
you guys would make, and sorry to cut you off, but you guys would make, like, a good wedding band.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
I would, yeah. if I were ever to get married, I'm hiring you guys.
Oh, okay, 100%. Good.
You're my first choice.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, and that's a different side. I mean, I just love all kinds of music, so it's nice to be in a couple of different projects where I can express that side of it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I can just, you know, that's a funky sort of reggae, funk, you know, R&B, some, you know, more rock end of things, but all in sort of that R&B world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fun to be able to do that. And then also then go over to the new normal and do more of the jam and, you know, still rock, but maybe more jazz influences and all those kinds of things. So it's fun.
You said growing up on all the jam bands, it must have blew your mind. You're playing with Vinny when you're playing with Floodwood.
Yeah.
Was that kind of like a pinch me moment?
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where it's like, I don't know, you tell yourself just, you know, like, don't act like you know who he is. Like, cause then like, it'll creep him out, you know? So I was kind of like, hey, what's up, dude? Yeah. I think I've heard of you, you know? Yeah. Mo. Yeah. I think. Yeah. But, yeah, he's just a normal dude, you know what I mean?
It's so my it's brother not, right there.
Speaking
right?
of Floodwood, isn't it Brady's birthday?
Oh, yeah, it is Brady's birthday.
Happy birthday, Brady.
Happy birthday, buddy. But, yeah, that must have been pretty surreal for you.
Yeah, like, it
growing
was.
Growing up in
and
that
then,
realm. And
yeah, and, you know, but it's I've been lucky enough to play with some people that, you know, I never thought I'd play with. So
yeah.
It's been great. You know, I played with Fishman a couple of years ago, and that was amazing.
That must have blew you away, right?
Yeah.
How many Fish shows do you think you've seen?
You know, not as many as most. Like, I probably like 40.
40.
But that's like a small number compared to like.
I've seen 100.
Yeah. See? Yeah. You know, like.
I had problems back in the 90s.
That's not a problem. That's a good problem to have. I mean, like, you know, Sam.
Of course.
Like, I, you know, I don't know.
He's up around 300.
Yeah, exactly. That's ridiculous. I mean, I'm probably at 40. I mean, it was like just one of those things where, like, I probably just didn't have the means to do it, you know, like to go to all these shows. I just, you know, but I loved them and I listened to all the live stuff and, you know, go to as many as I could. When I first got into them, they came to Colgate to play a show, and I'd never seen them live before. I just was geeking out, and then I realized that I was in the High School Musical the same night that they were at Colgate, and I was like just devastated. And so I wrote them a letter. And I said, like, gave it to someone that was running the show at Colgate. I said, please give Fish this letter. And it just said, like, you guys, I mean, I was really young. And I said, like, you guys, have you ever seen, like, Sonny in Philadelphia where he keeps, like, sending Chase Utley, like, letters? It's kind of like that. And, like, and so I was like, you guys are my favorite band. I really want to come see you tonight. But I'm in this musical Fiddler on the Roof at high in my high school. So if you guys are done with the show early, like, come over and see Fiddler on the Roof.
Come see me.
And so I later, like, a couple years ago when I played with Fishman, I was like, I told him about the letter, and he's like, yeah, I'm surprised none of us went over to see your play.
What did you play with Fishman? Where was
that? It was at Dinosaur Barbecue, actually, in Syracuse. They were doing, like, Lifetime Achievement Awards.
For the Sammies.
Yep. Gotcha. And so he was winning one, because he's from Jamesville.
Uh-huh.
So he got an award, and then, actually, it was Castle Creek that was playing downstairs of the Dino, and he came and sat in with us and stuff.
Wow.
So it was really cool.
He must have been bugging.
Yeah. So.
And Fishman's so down to earth too.
Yeah.
He's a very down to earth guy. He's like you and I.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
He's super cool. Well, hang out.
Yeah.
Drink
exactly.
a beer with you.
I think like everyone's just, you know, thinks of these guys as like legends or whatever, and
they are.
But they're also just normal dudes. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, it's kind of refreshing to see that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So yeah, everyone I've played with that was kind of like, you know, an idol of mine is like still like just a normal person that. And that's a cool thing, I think. You
yeah,
know?
It is.
He also has a Fish tribute band, too, Dinner and a Movie.
I do play in a Fish tribute band, yeah. Dinner and a Movie, yep. With great guys, great musicians. Brian Laurie, do you know Brian?
I might, I don't know.
And then two brothers that are the bass and drums, Jack Jarvis and Elliot Jarvis. And that's another great band where it's like, you know, we'll start with a Fish tune, and we play some of the harder ones, too. And but when we get into a jam, it kind of like becomes our own thing, and we almost sound like, you know, different than Fish in a lot of ways, you know, like we make our own thing happen, but that's another fun one to do. That's just kind of like living out my childhood fantasy, you know. I'd just be in my bedroom jamming to Fish or whatever, you know, and so now I get to do it.
Yeah, right,
which
on
is
man.
Pretty fun.
It's gonna be kind of cool, like playing a band and playing all your favorite band songs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And it's like,
and get your chops down too, because you're playing Trey.
Yeah.
So that's going to make you a better player right then
and
there.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's hard, too. I mean, I've read articles with Trey where, because all that stuff is so intricate and hard. And if you don't practice it every day, you forget it because it's so long and complicated. So every morning I wake up and I'll play through a bunch of those songs just so that they're not forgotten, mm-hmm. you know, so they're under my fingers. And I read an article with Trey once where he was saying when you do all these, when he's playing all those things, like if he thinks about it, he'll screw them up. So he has to, like, just not pay attention to what he's playing because his fingers know what they're going to do. And if he concentrates on that, he'll fuck himself up. So he just, like, looks around and pay attention to anything but what he's doing.
Muscle memory.
Right, exactly. His muscle memory. And it's true because that's what I have to do with mm-hmm. these two is, like, just trust that my fingers know where they're going to go in this song and just, you know, space out or something because if you think about it too much, you'll you know, sabotage yourself.
Wow, so true.
So but it's a good learning experience because – you know, even being a fan of Fish, I never learned all of this stuff. You know, I'd just be a fan of it and just jam to the jam parts or whatever. Right. And to force yourself to learn all that stuff makes you appreciate it, makes you a better player, you know. So
just sit around and do the little riff from Stash.
You
know, and that was it. Now you're playing the whole song.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But, you know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that makes you a better player. So I welcome it. And it's really fun to be doing that stuff, and that band's great. I mean, the jams we get into are magical, so it's really fun.
Gotta check that out. You got any upcoming dates with Dinner?
Yeah, we're doing that. Well, if anyone's around Auburn, we're doing that August 4th. Then the you know, the Curveball Festival that's coming up.
Yeah,
we're doing the night before, which is Wednesday, August 15th, in Syracuse at Funkin' Waffles. So
cool.
If anybody's gearing up to go to Curveball but want to, you know, hear some Fish the night before, that's where we'll be. And I think we're working on some other shows for like the
should play
August.
Like Colgate or something. Like,
yeah,
I think the college circuit would be huge for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Are the college kids in the Fish again?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Back in the day, they used to be. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we talked about actually this.
I imagine
this past spring was like I forget if it was like 20th or 25th anniversary of Fish playing at Colgate.
Oh, really?
And so they approached us about doing the show, but they wanted us to do the exact same set list they did,
mm-hmm.
and it's like. Like a handful of their hardest songs, like, you know, Fluff Head. And like, I mean, it just went like It's Ice and all these things that we'd just be like bashing our head against the wall trying to learn like in time for that show.
Brother. Do you do Brother?
Brother.
Yeah.
What's that?
Someone is dancing with your brother.
Never heard that.
That's old school.
Is it?
Yeah, and it's a real intricate song too.
That's a fish song?
Yeah.
I can't believe I've never heard that. Yeah, well, how old is that?
Old.
Oh shit. Wow, I'm gonna have to look that one up.
I really used to feel it back in the day, brother.
Yeah. Wow.
I went all the way out to California and back.
Did you really?
Limestone and all that. And then I cut them off for a while.
Yeah.
And I got the job working at Magna Ball a couple years back. Mm-hmm. And I was doing credentials.
Oh, cool.
And it was the greatest job. I was bringing Trey's dad to his trailer. And awesome. Tom Marshall and all the fish celebrities.
Really?
And yeah, they all had to come through us to get their passes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so that made me get right back into the whole fish thing again. And that weekend was magical.
That's awesome.
It was magical. It was cool. Nobody does a festival like Fish.
No, it's amazing.
It's amazing what they do. Like, they are the only band on that festival, except for the one time in Oswego where they had a couple multiple bands. They are the only band on the festival. And they're the only ones that could pull that type of thing up.
Yeah.
They are the only band on the festival.
Isn't that amazing? Like, you go to, like, Bonnaroo or any of those other, it takes, like, you know, 100 bands to pull in that many people, right?
Right.
And just one band can bring in like 100,000 people. Like, that's incredible.
That's the thing. Bonnaroo, though, I don't like to make choices. I want to be able to go to one band, to another, to another, to another.
Right.
And but Fish does it cool. Like, they'll play a set and then go hang out in the city that we created for you guys.
Exactly.
And it's so interactive and fun, and there's game shows going on, and you can just sit on weird shit and look at weird shit all weekend long. And
that's what I always
you'll
like
never
about
get bored.
Them. It was more than the music. I loved the music, but it was more than that. It was an experience.
The community.
Like, yeah. I mean, like, just the idea of, like, they played chess with the audience for one summer tour.
Right.
That was amazing. Like, what a great idea, you know? So it was always something more than the music that they brought to the table, which was really cool.
And when they used to do the Simpson things,
and,
like, when they would play this little riff, everybody would, oh!
Yeah, there's a secret language in the music.
Secret language.
Yeah.
So cool, man.
It was really cool.
Very interactive with their thing. We got some people checking in, man. Joe's saying, what's up, do your things. Jake Clifford was in checking in earlier saying, great show from last night. Yep. So that was awesome over there. Mike's checking in, says, my first show was Clifford Ball. Wow,
mine
that must have
too.
Been a sick show.
Well, it wasn't my first show, but I was there.
You were at, what was your first show?
It was like a theater in Albany. It was probably that, what's that?
Palace Theater.
Yeah, Palace Theater in Albany. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Back in the day. Mm-hmm. Clifford Ball being your first show, that must have been amazing.
That was a good show.
I didn't join the train until later on. I think it was Vernon Downs was my first show.
I was at that
but,
one.
But that was crazy. And then we went right on to the Lemon Wheel.
Okay.
And we went right from there for that weekend. And
I got my wisdom teeth out the day of the Vernon Downs show.
Yeah.
And still went to the show. Like, all kind of just like, you know, just got my wisdom teeth out. So that was an experience.
So you looked normal with
it. So I was normal, yeah. I was fine. Yeah. Fit right in.
Chicken, you got a fan out there again, man. Lodo GG out there in Twitch land is checking and says, Chicken, you're a bay. See it? It's right there. I got it right up on the screen over there. It says, Chicken, you're a bay. I don't like that terminology.
Is that good? Bay?
Bay. I think he's thinking you're hot. I think it's a guy, though.
I hope not. Well, I'd take the compliment anyways.
And then he also he says, I feel Z has a lot to say about the moon landing.
With being fake?
I know. I'm not really wrapped up into that kind of conspiracy. I mean, I do believe in some conspiracies, but I think that one was real. I think people really landed on the moon, but I think there was aliens chasing them back off the moon. That's my conspiracy.
Do you believe in aliens then?
Of course.
Yeah, me too.
Of course. And then you got to be really naive to think we're the only civilization or creature or anything out there in the universe. The universe is so, I mean, we're just a speck in
it's
the universe.
Infinite. How could something infinite have one...
Now we're getting deep with Chris Eves. I like this now.
No, I know you're more into moonwalking, though. Right?
Yeah, I'm a moonwalker from way back.
I'm a sci-fi nerd, though. So I,
are you?
Yeah, I like all things Stargate, Star Wars, Star Trek. I don't know whether there's any other stars, but I was in a Star Trek movie.
Jones.
You were
Star
in a Star
Jones.
Trek movie?
I'm so into Star
Jones. Are you into Star Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you were in a Star Trek movie?
Yeah, I was in Star Trek Nemesis.
Really?
Yeah, I'm in the Wedding Band. So Riker and Troy get married in it, and I'm in the Wedding Band playing guitar.
Wow.
Like, I have this weird, they gave me this futuristic blue guitar that looks like an amoeba or something, you know? And so I'm playing Data, singing a song, and I'm backing Data up.
That's really cool.
That's very cool.
It's like 10 seconds, but.
Still.
But I get a check every year for it. I just got one the other day for like $50. Nice. It's on Netflix.
That's a tank of gas right there.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome. Yeah, but does that when you were out in L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you do, like, extras in multiple movies?
Yeah.
Or?
I moved out there with a couple of different musicians, and we quickly realized, like, if we didn't have a gig that day, then why not just go sign up to be an extra in a movie or a show? So I did a ton of that. I was in a ton of WB shows like Felicity and Seventh Heaven and Gilmore Girls. Like, there, I'm in episodes of the first season of Gilmore Girls. Like, you can see me, like, I'm like someone's date.
Did you meet Sebastian Bach?
I never met Sebastian.
Didn't he show up late to that, though?
Yeah, he was like later seasons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah, so that was just a quick way of making like $150
that day. That's great, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, it's a lot of sitting and waiting when you're an extra.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it's just getting up early. Like, you'd have to be up at like 5 or 6, and then you might not get home till 10 or whatever, but it's fine. Yeah. You know,
it's a lot of sitting
around. It's not glamorous or anything. Like, you think like, oh, I'm going to be on a TV show. And they're like, go sit in that corner, you know, for 5 hours. But, that's cool. So yeah, I did that to kind of like supplement my income when I was out there before I had more gigs and stuff like that.
Right on. Were you gigging a lot in LA?
Yeah. I played in like 4 or 5 different bands out there. And, you know, it's just hard because the live music scene out there isn't
cutthroat.
Yeah, it's cutthroat, and it's really like, if you think about it, there's so much out there that it's all just white noise, you know. Mm-hmm. And people get sick of going out to see shows.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's trying to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there's not a lot of artistry happening. It's more
no one's
like,
supporting. Like,
yeah.
Like, you go to a show, say Skunk City, for example, and you'll see like a bunch of musicians hanging out in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how it is.
Yeah.
Especially in Syracuse. And Utica too, same thing. You go to any of these shows, it's always musicians hanging out in the crowd.
Yeah.
It's supporting and, you know, giving back. And
absolutely. You
know. Mike Spadaro's checking and says, Chris, I'm Chris's bass player. Oh, okay, I got you.
In both bands.
In both bands.
He's bass player in both bands. Yeah. So hi, Mike.
Right on. Yes, Mike. Thanks for checking in. And if everybody watching this could do us a quick little favor, click the share button. Get it out there. It would help us out and help your friends here at EC Radio and the Disruption Network, as well as Chris Eves. And since we're talking about sharing and stuff like that, share us some of the dates that you got coming up with all your bands.
Well, so Skunk City's got a couple of cool things coming up. There's a thing called Seedstock, which is in Cortland area. And these guys put on, it's basically at their house, but they've grown it into this big festival where they have a big stage, a couple different stages actually, and they get some pretty big bands over there. So we're playing there August 3rd, and that's going to be like a nighttime set, I think. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool.
We have a bunch of Funk and Waffle shows that come up, so just check the calendars for those. I know the New Normal's playing there in a week or so at I think that's July 19th in Syracuse. We're also, New Normal's playing the Cornhill Festival.
Wait, here in Utica?
No, it's in Rochester, actually.
Rochester.
Yeah, and that's July 15th, which I screwed myself because, so for my fiance's birthday, she loves Radiohead. So,
Playing at MSG tonight, by the way.
Yeah, we're going.
Oh, you're going?
Not tonight. We're going there Saturday.
Saturday?
Yeah. So we're going to MSG on Saturday. I got her tickets for her birthday.
Sick.
But then I also agreed to play a festival in Rochester at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Oof.
So that was a bad idea.
You got to hustle, boy.
So we got to hustle back. But we'll be at Cornhill this Sunday. And then we're doing the Lilac Fest, or not Lilac, is it Fringe Fest, I think, in Rochester. New Normal is coming up soon, too.
Cool.
I think that's in September, though.
It's great that you're playing Rochester because it's got a great music scene in Rochester.
Yeah, yeah.
Rochester's blowing up.
Absolutely.
Like, music-wise.
Yeah.
And there's cool museums and art and stuff going
on. Just the city in general, though. I mean,
it's a great
city. Somebody was saying how Rochester was, like, kind of a dump, and I'm like, you haven't been to Rochester lately.
Well, it's got a high crime rate. It does.
But there's some really nice parts
in there. But there's some great things to do. Yeah. They have great festivals. He was mentioning Lilac Fest.
They do have great festivals. Lilac, yeah. That's more in the spring, though, right? Cornhill.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we're doing Fringe Fest. We're doing the Westcott Cultural Fair, which is
cool
in Syracuse, Westcott Street.
Yep.
As far as like a lot of Funk and Waffle, we play there quite a bit. There's a place called Coleman's in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. We play quite a bit. So just, and the best thing for people to do is probably just go on our website, which is, ChrisEvesandTheNewNormal.com. All our shows are on there. And then for Skunk City, it's SkunkCity315.com.
Skunk City, man. I'm loving that band. I really love that Careful With Your Heart song.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Is that yours?
Well, it's Emmanuel, the drummer, and Jay, the other guitarist, and I kind of sat in a room together and came up with that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah.
And that's what got my ear at Taste of Syracuse.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, that's like the radio single.
That would be right. Yeah,
I would think so. Yeah,
that would be.
So yeah, that's it's fun to play. It's just so high energy and danceable and everything like that.
If
that's,
local radio played local music.
Yeah.
Right.
Just throwing it out there.
Well, we're hoping at some point. Yeah.
Well, there are some, like, you know, Dave Fracina's probably spinning.
Yeah, Dave's great.
Dave's the man. Yeah. I love Dave Fracina. In fact, I got to get him on the show. Every time I see Dave, he's like, I got to come down to Utica and come on. I'd love to have him. And I would chop it up for like 4 hours,
I think. Oh, yeah.
Local legend.
Oh, absolutely.
Hands down.
Dave's always been really supportive.
And like Dixon, too, right? Isn't Dixon out there supporting local music, too?
Well, I think Genesee Joe does.
Well, here locally in Utica, yes, Genesee Joe is. And get your stuff to Genesee Joe, too, man.
Okay.
Please do. Because he's looking for content, and he's also looking for music to spin on his place, too.
Actually, speaking of Dave, he's doing a thing now, the Soundcheck show, but he does it live from Subcat Studios. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah,
so
I have.
New Normal's doing that in August. So, you know, I guess be on the lookout for that. So, we'll be doing a live.
I like to see these radio stations, and, you know, I've worked for a couple of them, and I would like to see them, instead of just having, like, a section for local music, put some of these local bands in full rotation.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Wouldn't that be great?
Exactly. Put them in rotation. I mean, like...
They don't even have to be in full rotation. Spin them maybe 2-3 times a day.
Right.
Well,
right.
But I mean, like,
in
rotation
in the
midst with the
other
stuff.
Of the stuff, you know, the national.
Well, because their rotation is, like, it's the same thing every hour.
Right, exactly. But
by
like,
Clear Channel or whatever. Right. Yeah,
like, so. I listen to, like, K Rock, and there's no reason that, like, Brand New Sin or Nine Ball or some of these bands can't be on or, you know,
during the prime time.
Exactly. Yeah. Mixing with, you know, another Metallica song or Pearl Jam song. And
I think that would be great, wouldn't it?
It would give so much more exposure. You know, because I think a lot of people, they have that. The average fair weather fan, as soon as they hear, oh, it's a local band, they just tune it off.
Right. You know, it's funny because, you know, sometimes we just sneak them in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Don't tell anyone it's an original thing. Otherwise, people might tune out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And it's weird because, you know, I understand it. Like, people want to hear stuff that they are familiar with. They want to hear something they've heard before that's, you know, they've been singing in their head or heard it on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I think scientifically, like, you have to hear a song like 7 times or something before it like starts spinning in your head and you recognize it and you know want to hear it again. You know what I mean? So I think that's what they do with most national commercial radio. They just jam it down your throat. Like, you'll hear, you know, I don't know, whatever band is, you know, back in the day, like, say Nickelback, like, they just play it like 5 times an hour until you're like, oh yeah, I love that song. And the only reason you love it is because it's familiar to you. You know what I mean?
It's embedded in your brain.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't get it out.
So I always felt like, just like what you said, like, you know, if you're playing a lot of bridge or covers and you just sneak in an original, people, like, they think it's a cover and they just start singing along to it. And before they realize, because once you say, oh, this is our original, people just, oh, I'm going to go take a piss.
Right,
I'm going to
go
get a beer.
That's perfect bathroom break.
And it can be a great song.
That's the way to do it, too. Sneak it in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been talking with the Fish tribute of, like, just sneaking in an original in a jam. Like, we'll be jamming or something. Just, like, sneak into it and then sneak out of it. People won't even know what hit them. And,
true.
You know, like, that way, you know, people won't tune out or be like, oh, we got to go or whatever.
But then you get those Fish enthusiasts that come up to you like, hey, what was that in the middle of Gaiuti?
You guys are
playing that one song.
I
never heard Fish do that before.
Or are they one of those people like, it's not like that in the book when you're watching a movie?
Oh, dude.
Well, you know what kills me actually is like all these, there's so many like dead tribute bands now.
Right.
And you could argue that even the dead are a tribute band now.
Right.
Like the actual Dead and Company are a tribute band now. But
the Dead was always a great cover band themselves.
Right, they
were. Think about it.
But if you think about all these bands now, you've got like J-Rad and you've got, you know, all these bands that cover.
Dark Star.
Yeah, Dark Star. And then like, you know, even like, I don't know, there's a lot of Fish tribute bands too.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole idea like Dark Star, I could never understand where they're like, we're going to do it just like they did it this day. That's like so against the whole spirit of that they were making it up on the spot.
I see
like,
your point, brother.
Instead of making it up on the spot, they're like, we're going to do it exactly like they did it. That's like,
isn't the whole thing being a jam band?
Yeah, it's the exact opposite of the whole spirit of it, to be like so true to it. Like, they weren't even true to themselves. They would make different shit up every night, you know? It was never the same.
It ruins the spirit of the improv.
Yeah, so I never got that. That's why I still enjoy playing the Fish stuff, but we kind of, when we jam, we go into something else. You know what I mean? It's not like we have to sound, we're not a slave to, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I just never got that. You know what I mean?
I hear you. I hear you. Especially they recreate the shows like that. I mean, you could see if you're a band going in and playing it, and then your jams are a little bit different than
right.
they normally, but to recreate the whole show. I mean,
right.
I get it.
I get it, too.
Get it 100%. And, you know, it's cool. They're doing their thing, right. and they're out there in a tour bus being a tribute band.
Right.
And
I just find it to be sort of an oxymoron. Like, we're a jam band that's going to have, like, strict rules about what we do. You know what I mean? Like, we're going
right.
to follow these guidelines. When we jam, it's mm-hmm. like that's not jamming. You know what I mean? I mean, they still jam, and they're all great, but you know what I mean.
What's your top three jam bands?
Fish, Dead, and then probably Mo.
Fish, Dead,
yeah.
Mo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I put Umphrey's right up there.
Umphrey's, you know.
I love Umphrey's. One of my favorites.
I have to be honest. I still don't get it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm trying.
You're not really a hard rock guy, are
no,
you?
I am.
Are you?
Like, I love Metallica, and I love yeah. I grew up on that stuff too. I love Megadeth. I love all that stuff.
Nice.
I don't know. It's to me, it's kind of like jam band Rush or something. Like, you know what I mean?
It really is. Like you, it's very structured and thought out and
yeah.
math. It's,
yeah.
it, I mean, it's yeah. it's nerd rock. It really is.
Yeah, and which is cool, and I yeah. like that. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying. I'll get there.
Yeah. See. The Dead really don't do it for me.
No, okay.
No,
I
but Fish
it.
Is my, as far as jam bands, yeah.
yeah,
Fish,
Fish
Mo,
is
Umphrey's
is
that how yeah. mine goes.
Which is cool because, you know, in Floodwood, Tony Markelis was also the bass player at the
Love
time
him.
I was in. And sometimes, like, we'd be on the road and we'd have to share a room or something. And, like, I'd be like, oh, shit, like, I'm going to share a room with the bass player that plays with Trey and all that stuff. And, like, he'd just tell me stories all night.
Such
be,
a great guy,
be awesome. He's the best.
He really is
the best guy in the world. And, like, but it was cool to hear his stories about being on the road with Trey. And it's weird because he's talking about somebody I've idolized since I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
you know. And just and it's cool because he's telling me stories that live up to what you think of this guy as. Like, that he is really that great of a guy and he's really that talented and that smart and all that stuff. So
he's
it was really cool.
Trey's got a big heart.
Huh?
Trey's got a big heart.
Yeah.
You know what I love about Tony? Tony's his own inner Yelp. He knows every oh restaurant God. All over the
we,
world.
We were driving to, I think it was Lake Placid, and we just went through this tiny, tiny town. Never heard of it. And he's like, they've got good pies over there. I'm like, how do you know that?
Yeah, like, we were at top
good guy to travel with.
Me and Chucky Love went for breakfast one morning. We were at top of the morning, and we're just sitting there eating, breaking balls, talking and shit. And all of a sudden, door opens up, and Tony comes walking in. He's out of nowhere. I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? He goes, I love this place. You know, I come here every time for breakfast, and he knows, like, every restaurant
yeah.
in Utica.
Well, that's the great thing. When we were on the road, it wasn't like – he wouldn't let us, like, stop at Burger King. He'd be like, no, we're going to go to Schwabble's, where they, like, invented the beef on weck. You know what I mean? You're going to get the first, you know, this is who invented it. You're going to try the real thing instead of, like, going to Burger King.
I would much rather do that.
Oh, that's
yeah.
a good man to have on the road
absolutely.
With you.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, because he wouldn't let you eat bad food.
Uh-huh.
Even, like, and for fast food, like, he would still know what was up, like Steak and Shake or something like that. He wouldn't let us go to, like, McDonald's. He'd be like, Steak and Shake's. Way better. Let's
oh,
go
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Great man. Great
yeah,
man.
He's awesome.
It's a great circle you have, Chris.
Well,
you
yeah,
do.
I'm
yeah.
lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky to know some cool people.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
A good circle you
yeah.
got going, and you keep busy and keep
try.
Staying forward and doing your thing and
I try
playing. And
yeah. Well, you know, I think I've been doing it a long time, and you just gotta love it. You've gotta love like getting up and loading your car. You know what I mean?
I know. I don't.
Gotta,
I hate it, actually.
I do. Well, I'm getting to that point where I hate it. But, like, up until this point, like, since I was a kid, like, oh, I'm going to wrap this cable, the best cable wrap I've ever done. Like, you have to love all that bullshit. Otherwise, you'll burn out, I think,
true.
Doing this. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, because most of it is really just carrying heavy shit from one place to the other. And then playing for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then carrying more heavy
and then
shit.
Packing it all back in.
Yeah. So I think you just have to love all that stuff. And I do, you know. So and you know, I pretty much just take a little pocket recorder with me everywhere. And I just love listening to music. So I'll record whatever set or other bands that are playing and then just fall asleep to listening to, like, you know, I might tape Root Shock one night and fall asleep listening to that. Like,
oh, cool.
I can't get enough of all of it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So I think I just love it, you know.
Absorb it all.
Yeah.
Absorb exactly. it all.
Now, do you have, like, a day job, or are you just strictly playing music?
Just music. I
That's
teach
awesome.
Lessons on Mondays. So if anyone wants guitar or piano lessons, you know, I teach those on Mondays.
How can they get a hold of you?
Facebook's the best way. Just Chris Eves, send me a message or whatever, you
cool.
know. But, yeah, so I have students on Mondays, and other than that, I just play gigs.
Now, last week I was paying attention to one. I think it was your Instagram or Facebook video,
mm-hmm.
and you did your best David Coverdale impersonation.
Yeah.
Yes. Can I hear that again?
I don't know. That's more of like a nine at night kind of.
That's a nine at night.
I don't know. I'm not really warmed up. Let's see. Let's see. I got to channel it.
You got to channel your inner David Coverdale.
Yeah, that's high. That's fucking high. Let's
Here
see.
I go.
Here I go. That's not really that good. I probably broke your speaker.
Not at
it's
all.
More though. Merciful fate.
Yeah.
How was Whitesnake when you seen him?
I love Whitesnake. Yeah, that
Me
was
too.
Great. My problem was I was worried the whole time. That drummer is like 68 or 70
they
or something.
They all are.
Yeah, well, not the other guy. Like, the guitarists are younger because, like, those are, like, guys they hired after the fact, uh-huh. you know? Coverdale and then Tommy Aldridge, the drummer, they're, like, 70. And he's like, I'm like, if I was doing that, I'd have a heart attack right now. Like, how is he at 70? He's like twirling sticks and like just going nuts. And I'm like, the whole set, I couldn't relax. And I'm like, at any moment, they're going to have to call an ambulance. So, but they were awesome. But I kind of came up with this realization watching Whitesnake that if you're a hard rocker with the long hair and everything, there's a fine line. Like, you're cool and you're a rocker up to like maybe like 60. Then you turn from a hard rocker into looking like my grandma, uh-huh. you know?
Right.
Then you still have the long hair, like, you know.
Like Steven Tyler.
Yes, he I was just like going to say that.
Yeah, he looks like my grandma now.
Yeah, he does,
my
too.
Know? So Tommy Aldridge, like, looks like my other grandma. Like, so there's that fine line, and I think you can't pull it off after 60. Coverdale kind of looks like a grandma, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
The long hair does not work when you're, like, well, 68.
Vince Neil looks like John Lovitz.
He does look like John Lovitz. That's funny. Poor Vince Neil, man. I feel
oh,
like
God.
He hasn't aged.
Heart too, though.
He hasn't aged gracefully at
no.
all. No, he hasn't.
He can't even sing his own songs.
I know. It's a shame. It's a shame.
Yeah.
But poor Vince Neil. How about your all-time favorite hard rock band? Like
either,
metal hard rock.
Either Megadeth or Metallica.
Yeah.
I love like the Rust in Peace. And Peace Sells, those albums. And then I like Kill 'Em All, Justice for All like
the top
know.
Four.
Justice for All is
four.
My favorite.
Yeah, Justice for All is amazing. I mean, I think like that stuff was really influential when I was growing up. I like the early Pantera stuff too.
Yeah.
I listened to a lot of that. You know what band I really like is Faith No More.
Love Faith No More.
Amazing.
Huge
stuff.
Fan of Faith
yeah,
No More.
Yeah, so I was a huge fan of that. You know, Mike Patton's amazing.
He
and,
is.
You know. So yeah, I'd put those in my top. I was, you know, into a lot of that stuff, Slayer and all that stuff. They're coming soon. I'd
yep.
like yeah. to see them, but
with Testament, I love
Testament too. Yeah, I was gonna mention
Chuck
them.
Billy's Alex one of those the vocalist that doesn't get a lot of love.
Yeah,
I think he's got a great voice.
Yep.
I'm talking about the classics. What about any new bands out there that you can promote Shoot. And talk about? Other than like we've talked about Root Shock. And Sophistafunk and those
yep.
guys, but is there anybody
Gosh.
Else you're high on right now?
I like the Marcus King band.
Oh,
have you
yeah.
heard those guys?
Oh, yeah. I worked with them on New Year's at the Palace.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he opened for Twiddle. Great kid. They're young, too.
Yeah, they are
and
young.
And he rips.
So I like him. Alan Stone. Do you know Alan Stone?
I don't.
Really, like, amazing, like, soul singer.
Okay.
Like, really reminds me of, like, Stevie Wonder or something. His songs are interesting, really interesting lyrics and just really funky stuff. So I like him a lot. Shoot, I don't know. It's hard to kind of think of new stuff. There's a band called Ripe I've been listening to that
oh,
I like.
Oh, great. They were at Modown last year.
Yeah, I like them.
They were badass.
Uh-huh. And, you know, I like Turquoise and
they're killing it
yeah,
right now.
They're killing
Turquoise.
It. So, yeah, I've been listening to a lot of that stuff. Trying to think what else.
What were you listening to on the way here?
On the way here, I was listening to a audiobook. Called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
I can write that book.
it's good. My brother told me to get it. He said he enjoyed it. So, but other than that, what was I listening to? Demos that I was making. I do that a lot. Like, I demo a lot of stuff at my house, throw it on Dropbox, and then best place to listen to it's like driving somewhere.
Yeah.
And because I feel like writing songs... You can get yourself stuck if you're just in one place. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I feel like when you're driving, your mind wanders. You kind of stop paying attention to, like, day-to-day stuff. And then something will just pop into your head. And you'll be like, oh, I never thought of that. Like, I'll, you know, especially if I'm listening to the demo, I'll go, okay, that needs to stop here. but then this would be a good lyric for that or whatever, you know what I mean?
So would you just stop what you're doing, write it down type of thing? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Or do you try I to definitely remember? Pull over my car. And like,
you don't write and drive?
No. I will stop. Like, one of my favorite things to do is probably, like, get a nice coffee in the morning, load up, like, whatever I have on Dropbox of demos, and just go for a ride in the country and drink coffee and listen to these demos and see if I come up with any ideas or something like that. I don't do it that often anymore, but back I used to live in Hamilton and commute to Syracuse a lot, so I'd do that a lot. I'm trying to think what else I've been listening to lately. Pigeons playing ping pong.
They're killing it right now too.
And then let's see what else I got on my phone. Ripe. Heavy Pets a little bit.
They've been around for a little while, huh?
Yeah. Government Mule. Big Wreck. Have you ever heard of Big Wreck?
Yeah, from Canada.
Yeah.
I really love that song.
Yeah.
Love that song.
Yeah. And then been listening to Kung Fu a little bit. So
monsters.
That's what I've been listening
Those
to.
Those guys are monsters, Kung Fu. Tim Palmieri is a rock god. He's a guitar playing god.
Yeah.
We've had him on the show before.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's just an amazing human being, and he's just killing it out there. Kung Fu's killing it.
Yeah.
So proud of those guys.
Yeah, we jammed. I think the drummer from Kung Fu showed up at a Floodwood gig. Yeah, and he sat in. That was fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome, man. You know, a couple weeks back, Jason Klug from Del Lago was in, and I asked him who some of his favorite musicians are going on today, and first person he mentioned was you.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's awesome. He's great.
A great man.
He's an incredible singer.
He really is.
He is. Like, we did... We did a tribute to the Black Crowes together.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. It's part of something they call Vinyl Albums Live. I'm sure you know
what
that
is. Yep, with Bob Kane and
Robin Stockdale.
Yep.
And so they asked me to come in and do the guitar stuff with another guy. Jason sang the whole thing, like, nailed it. You know, he's just an incredible singer. He's got a lot of range and... You know, it's just got that rock voice, you know.
Yeah.
So
the Reissues was a great band. When he had the Reissues out with him and Peg.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they were
absolutely
great. They're a great band.
Yep. So, yeah, he's one of my favorite singers. Like, bar none, not just around here. Like, I think he's got an incredible voice.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. But, yeah, but you were the first person he mentioned.
That's awesome. That's very flattering because I think very highly of him. So.
Oh, nice. A little bromance going on here.
Nice.
You're Secret Admirer checking in on Twitch again, wants to know what the deal with the fluoride in his water is. What's that all about? I don't know if it's a guy or girl.
Fluoride?
What's the deal with fluoride in my water?
I don't know.
Fluoride is a waste product.
Yeah.
And made of iron filings that they didn't know how to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it in the water, and they put it in your toothpaste, and they put it in whatever else.
Okay.
And there you have it. No, it's a problem in water, though.
It's delicious.
It's delicious.
I have well water.
Can I have extra fluoride in my water, please?
Well, they were doing that for a while. Like, you could get, like, fluoride something. I don't know, extra fluoride and things.
You sure it's not a jam band? Fluoride in the water?
Fluoride.
No, I don't know. I just made all that up. I really don't know. I was just trying to stoke a conspiracy theory.
There you go.
I think your next band should be Burnt Cheese Incident.
Yep. There you go. I think you're right.
Fluoride would be a good death metal band name, I think. We're Fluoride.
Fluoride in your water.
Oh, man. This is fun, man. You got any more shows you want to plug? How can people find you on social media?
So
and
social
all
media, it's Chris Eves and the New Normal for all of it, like Facebook and Twitter. And we're on YouTube. We've got a bunch of stuff on YouTube that you can listen to and watch. We've got, like, we did this thing a little while ago, which was like a video game night. So, like, we played all the tunes, like Super Mario Brothers and all that. We jammed on those. We had a big screen behind us with video games on them and a wireless controller in the crowd. And, like, people could play the games while we jammed to them and stuff.
That's great.
So that was really fun. So we got some videos of that up on YouTube and some other music videos and stuff. So that's YouTube, Chris Eves and the New Normal. So it's pretty much across the board, Chris Eves and the Normal, Twitter, Facebook. We're on Reverb Nation. If you just want to listen to the tunes or whatever. And we're on Spotify and iTunes. I think right now we're on a Relics sample CD and sample playlist. So if you go to Spotify and look up Relics, you can, you know, our song's in there with a bunch of other cool bands. And then with Skunk City, it's skunkcity315.com. You can see all our tour dates and listen to the album. And we're also on iTunes and Spotify, just like every other band.
Yeah.
So
but, fun band, man. Skunk City.
Yeah, it is.
Both so, bands.
He's like the local Corey Taylor.
He's playing a lot. He's playing a lot of stuff. He's doing a lot of stuff. But if you want to have a party at your house and you want to book a band, Skunk City yeah. should be your number
it's
one
probably
choice.
Probably the way to go. We are fun.
A lot
I
of
just
fun.
Started busting out. I bought a keytar like a week or two ago.
Oh, yeah?
So now I'm busting that out on some songs and stuff, which is pretty fun.
Like Prince songs and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. So.
Doctor!
Yeah. I just yeah. instantly had a vision of 80s. You
know? Yeah, but that's it's kind of, well, a lot of what we do is kind of like, pulled from there, you know what I mean, but making it mm-hmm. fresh for us, you know what I mean, there's definitely some 80s, there's some 70s in it, and that's what we're drawing from, you know, that kind of golden age of like Prince and Chaka Khan, and
I feel a lot of that's coming back around,
yeah, you know, well, like, I mean, well, it's good stuff, you know,
Greta Van Fleet, and then there's there's a few other bands I don't know off the top of my head, but they pull from that 80s sound, that,
yeah,
that very early 80s sound,
yeah. So I mean we've got this guy Daquan Bowens, who plays keyboards in Skunk City. And he's just like one of the most incredible musicians I've ever played with. And he's got all that stuff down, all the synth stuff and all like the Moog lead things on the keyboards and stuff. So it's really amazing to hear him do his thing. And I just wanted to be a part of it too. So I got a keytar, but,
awesome.
But it's fun, you know? And, but yeah, so that's, I think we're drawing from sort of like that Sly and the Family Stone 70s kind of thing.
Love it.
But also the more 80s Prince and still also like more like the D'Angelo, the newer like 2000s
right.
like kind of stuff as well.
Montel Jordan.
Yes,
stuff like
exactly.
that.
So we're trying to draw from all that inspiration and make it something current.
Was it an easy transition to go to the keytar?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because I like to be able to see where my hands are on a keyboard, and I can't see them most of the time when they're down there. So I just have to do it by feel. But so I'm not doing anything like death defying yet on it. I just kind of like stick to what I know, but I'd like to get more adventurous. It's hard because it's like playing a keyboard upside down. So
right.
you know what I mean? So I'll get used to it.
That's kind of what I was wondering. Cause it just seems like with keyboard, you're like this.
Right.
And then, like,
exactly.
Now you're
like, you know, it's weird.
Well,
it's
piano, keyboard, it's the universal instrument. Like, if you could play a piano, you can play pretty much any string instrument, and it's kind of like the same principle, but, you know, it's just different finger placing.
Well,
if you're upside down or this way, you're just kind of, you know, playing bass, same thing.
Right.
Playing bass, playing keys.
Yeah, you know, I said to a friend, this was a while back, but, you know, I said, I want to start learning how to play a bunch of different instruments, and my theory is that, like, music is music. You just got to know which button to push on each thing. Like, they're all tools. Like, you just got to know which button to push,
mm-hmm.
you know?
True.
And it's kind of what it is. So, like, I taught myself bass, drums, keyboards, you know? I play a little bit of, like, saxophone and things like that, too. But, as, again, just like with a saxophone, like, what button do I push to make that note? You know, I know what I want to play because I can play it on this. So, like, what buttons are the same as this? It's kind of like, you know, I speak English. Now I want to speak Spanish, like, I want to translate that over, you know?
Yeah. Right on, brother. This has been great, man.
Yeah,
I wish you success and nothing less,
man.
I
appreciate that.
I like what you're doing. Keep doing it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And again, I'll say it one more time. If you're looking to book a great party, then you should start with Skunk City.
I agree.
It's just like, what a party.
Yeah, and we got new music coming out. Both bands will be in the studio this summer and this fall. So we'll have new records coming out and everything. So
excellent.
Be on the lookout for that.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Taking
Thank
time
you
out of your busy day to come all the way to Utica and chop it up with us.
My pleasure.
I want to remind everybody they can listen to this podcast and previous podcasts of EC Radio and all the content we have on the D at disruptionnetwork.net. But we got to give some love and respect out to our good friend, attorney Nick Pasalacqua. If you need legal help quick,
you better call Nick.
Call attorney Nick Pasalacqua and his team of associates at 315-500-NICK or hit him up online at cnytriallaw.com. Also got to mention, we got the big party. Our next disruption party is happening Friday, July 20th at Wakely's, the old electric company. We're getting the gang back together. Peter Prince and Moon Boot Lover providing live entertainment. Come on down. Come hang out. We're going to do live podcasting. We got some announcements to make. We got some tricks up our sleeves. We've got some unique little things that we're going to incorporate to our night, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing all my old friends get back together hang out under the roof of 700 Varick Street and do it old school EC style.
It's going to be a blast.
I can't wait, man. We're going to have a bunch of different stuff. DJ East One's going to be there providing the record and the scratching it up a little bit in between sets of Peter Prince and Moon Boot Lover, so We've got some DJs happening. We've got some live music happening. All your friends are going to be there. It's only like a $5 cover at the door, people. Okay? It's going to be like it's 2005 all over again. It's going to be cheap at the door. So you come in, pay your $5, come hang out with your friends from the D and all your old friends from the electric company from back in the day. So can't wait for all that to go down. And again, it's Friday, July 20th, 700 Varick Street, because it ain't no potty like an EC potty, because an EC potty don't stop. It never did stop, because we continue it here yep. every day on the D. So if everybody could just share this video, that would be great. Be helping us out a lot. Like, comment, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter. We're pretty much all over all yep. the social media platforms. So it's very easy to find the D.
And speaking of Ease One, they're on tonight, right?
Ease Beats and Biz will be on the airs.
8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. So tune in. Well, it's usually a little after 8. They have no concept of time whatsoever, any of them. Well, Gabe does.
But I ain't going to say shit, so.
Yeah, right. You're in no position to say anything. But you've been getting better, Chicken. I will say you have been getting better as far as time goes. But, yes, Ease Beats and Biz tomorrow, or tonight. And tomorrow we're off. I got Revolution over at the Saranac Brewery. So if you're bored, you want to see some good reggae, we got freaking Bob Marley's son is going to be in Utica tomorrow, people. You yeah. should go out and support. Stephen Marley, Revolution, Common King, Zion I. There's a whole bunch of great reggae going on at the Saranac Brewery tomorrow, brought to you apart by our good friends over at Creative Concerts. So pop on over to cctix.com for more information if you want to buy your tickets. And also, we got to mention on Sunday, Dispatch is going to be at the brewery. So a lot of big wow. stuff going on with Creative Concerts and the Saranac Brewery, Good Nature Brewery. A lot of stuff happening. A lot of stuff. And they also just announced Bush is going to be playing at the SI Hall at the State Fairgrounds, as well as Good Charlotte, and they also have Black Label Society coming up. So all you rock and metal heads, there's some good music coming for you, too. You know, they got the hippies cornered, that's for damn yep. sure. They always got some really good reggae and hippie bands coming in, but they're bringing in some really good rock bands, too. So
it's good to hear.
Good stuff. cctix.com for more information. So, Chris, one more time, thank you so much, man.
Oh, my pleasure.
Much
guys.
Respect
thank
out
you.
To you, man.
Thank
I can't
you.
Wait to see Likewise. Skunk City again and the new normal and all the great things that you do, man. And keep us informed when the album comes out. Come,
I will.
Please come back, man.
Would
you got an open door anytime.
Absolutely.
Bring the guitar, come play.
Oh,
we'll,
absolutely.
We'll have
I'd
sing-alongs.
And sounds great.
Yeah, so we won't be tomorrow, but Thursday, my guest coming in, Mae Richards. She's going to come in and talk about Fashion Week. It's coming up on August 10th. I think it's August 10th. I can't remember the date now. But anyways, Mae will be here, and she's going to talk about that. She's got some really cool things, and actually, she might even bring a hot model in for you.
Nice.
If anybody can use a hot model, it's you, buddy.
Right? I ain't going to lie.
You ain't sure. going to lie. Please, don't lie.
So, I never lie.
Never lie. We'll see you tomorrow.
We are a generation of lost masculinity, and we got to start getting it back. No matter if you're straight or gay, no matter if you stick it in the front or you stick it in the rear, for the love of our sons, we've got to stick it in there like a man.
EC Radio.
Get excited. It's the Electric Company Reunion Party, Friday, July 20th at Wakely, 700 Varick Street. That's right, 700 Varick Street, the old EC. We're getting the gang back together, and we're partying old EC style. Peter Prince and Moon Boo Lover will be providing the live entertainment. It's only a $5 cover at the door. Live broadcast from the D, raffles, games, prizes, and a few special announcements we're going to be making on this night. Get excited, because you know there ain't no potty like an EC potty, because an EC potty don't stop. Friday, July 20th at Wakely's. See you there.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
Hi, this is attorney Nick Passalacqua. The team of attorneys I have assembled at Passalacqua & Associates has been carefully hand-picked to include the best trial attorneys in the particular areas of the law that we practice. Have you been charged with DWI or any other crime? Members of our team include former assistant district attorneys, now fighting to protect your rights 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have you or someone you love been seriously injured in a motor vehicle accident?
Members of the team at Passalaquin Associates include former insurance defense attorneys, now fighting to ensure that you get every penny you're entitled to. If you need legal help quick, don't waste your time or money calling anyone else. Remember, for legal help quick, you better call Nick and the team at Passalaquin Associates. 315-500-NICK or 315-500-6425 or visit cnytriallaw.com today.